Divine Mercy Sunday. One of the most striking aspects of the image of Divine Mercy is a line on the bottom. Jesus, I trust in you. Today we'll reflect briefly on that trust we all have in our Lord. But before we get to that, let's take a few minutes to review the particular grace attached to today's feast. Our Lord told St. Faustina, quote, I desire the Feast of Mercy be a refuge and a shelter for all souls, and especially for poor sinners. The soul that will go to confession and receive Holy Communion shall obtain complete forgiveness of sins and punishment. On that day, all the divine floodgates to which grace will flow are opened. Let no soul fear to draw near to me, even though its sins be as scarlet. Close quote, our Lord. Father Ignacy Rosicki, STD, a Polish Thomistic theologian, comments, the most exceptional grace promised by Jesus for the Feast of the Divine Mercy is something considerably greater than a plenary indulgence. It is also greater than the graces of all other sacraments, with the exception of the sacrament of baptism, for the remission of all sins and punishment is found only in the sacramental grace of baptism. In the promises cited, Christ tied the remission of all sins and punishment to the reception of Holy Communion on the Feast of Divine Mercy. In other words, in this regard, he raised it to the rank of a second baptism. It is obvious that in order to effect a complete forgiveness of sins and punishment, the Holy Communion received on the Feast of Divine Mercy must not only be partaken of worthily, but it must also fulfill the basic requirements of the Divine Mercy devotion. However, received unworthily, without trust in Divine Mercy, and devoid of some deed of mercy toward neighbor, it would be a contradiction of devotion to the Divine Mercy. Instead of the exceptional grace, it would bring down upon the recipient the divine wrath. Close quote. Okay, so the special grace granted on the Feast of Divine Mercy is directly attached to receiving Holy Communion on this day. It consists in the total remission of sins and punishment, and it's considerably greater than plenary indulgence, and a whole lot easier, indulgence a whole lot easier to gain. Now, obviously, it has to be received worthily. What about confession? Does that have to be made on the Feast of Divine Mercy? Certainly before one goes to communion, if he has mortal sin on his soul. But that would be the only case. As one commentator notes, quote, Christ never specifically asked for the faithful to go to confession on the day of the feast itself, which practically speaking would be an impossible burden upon most pastors. In fact, St. Faustina herself made a confession on the Saturday before Mercy Sunday, Diary Entry 1072. Whenever times of confession may be offered, the important thing is for the faithful to be encouraged to come on Mercy Sunday in a state of grace, having confessed at least all mortal sins, and trusting in the mercy of God. Close quote. Is there anything else you have to do? Yes. Our Lord said to St. Faustina, quote, there must also be acts of mercy. I demand from you deeds of mercy which are to arise out of love for me. You are to show mercy to your neighbors always and everywhere. I'm giving you three ways of exercising mercy towards your neighbors. The first, by deed. The second, by word. The third, by prayer. Even the strongest faith is of no avail without works. Close quote, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What about the plenary indulgence? In 2002, the Apostolic Penitentiary announced that, quote, the plenary indulgence is granted under the usual conditions, sacramental confession, Eucharistic communion, prayer for the intentions of the Supreme Pontiff, to the faithful on the second Sunday of Easter or Divine Mercy Sunday, in any chapel, church or chapel, in a spirit that is completely detached from affection for a sin, even a venial sin, take part in prayers and devotions held in honor of Divine Mercy, or when the presence of the Blessed Sacrament exposed or reserved in the tabernacle, recite the Our Father in the Creed, adding devout prayer to the merciful Lord Jesus, merciful Jesus, I trust in you, close quote. So, there's going to be devotions at 2 this afternoon, but for people that don't make it, before we leave today, say Our Father, a creed, and something like Most Merciful Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. And that way, you meet the conditions for plenary indulgence if the other things are there. Everybody knows about that. Let's briefly reflect on the trust we all ought to have in our Lord. Do that, we'll follow the teaching that great doctor of the Church, the little flower, St. Thérèse of Lisieux. We'll rely especially on the wonderful commentary by Father Jacques Philippe, The Way of Trust and Love. I can't recommend that particular commentary enough. Virtually everything I'm going to say right now is like a long paraphrase or quote. Everyone here has probably heard of the little way of St. Thérèse, which refers to how she's her path towards holiness. Her little way is also known as the way of spiritual childhood. The point, that's going to become obvious in a minute, but the point here is that trust is an absolutely essential feature of the little way. As Father Philippe says, trust is the most characteristic feature of spiritual childhood. St. Thérèse's sister, Sister Maria of the Sacred Heart, asked St. Thérèse to share her thoughts, the thoughts she had on a retreat she made in September of 1896. Those thoughts are contained in the Story of the Soul, if you read that. After Sister Maria had read the beautiful thoughts of her sister, she wrote a note along these lines to St. Thérèse. Your text is magnificent, but it left me with a certain sadness. You ardently desire martyrdom, but I have to admit that what you desire is something I'm scared of. I flee from what you love. As a result, I'm seriously afraid that I will never succeed in loving Jesus as much as you do, and that makes me somewhat sad. You have burning, ardent desires, but I am far from experiencing the same things in my heart. St. Thérèse replied to this little note immediately. She told her sister it wasn't her burning desires or any fervor she felt that mattered. Quote, my desires of martyrdom are nothing. It is not they that give me the boundless trust I feel in my heart. I'm quite sure it is not at all what pleases God in my little soul. What pleases him, and she's underlining this next phrase, what pleases him is to see that I love my littleness and my poverty. It is the blind hope that I have in his mercy. That is my only treasure. Close quote, St. Thérèse. What pleases God is to see that I love my littleness and my poverty. It's the blind hope I have in his mercy. Father Philippe continues. These few words are important. St. Thérèse underlined them because they put things in the right perspective. She did not deny all that she had lived and explained, her times of grace and fervor. She was fully aware that these were not what made her pleasing to God. What pleased God in her was rather her love for her own littleness and inner poverty and her blind hope in God's mercy. Humility and trust. That's what makes us unfailingly pleasing to God, draws his grace down upon our souls, and makes us the object of his tenderness and love. That is my only treasure, she told her sister. And it can perfectly well be ours. Maybe we don't always feel great desires and impetuous longing for martyrdom, but loving our littleness and placing absolute trust in God is always within our reach. We can do that without any difficulty. St. Thérèse, well, how I'd like to be able